everybody. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to On the Air. And no, wait a minute. You're listening. I'm sorry. We just finished On the Air, and we're going into a progressive life. And we have on the phone, I think we have Dr. Ron Feynman. Are you still on there?
Dr. Yes, I'm here. I had a great time listening to both of you the last hour, you and Scott.
I was shocked that you were listening, but I kept getting your messages on my phone and made me laugh several times. Okay, we had an interesting on the air show, and
you always do. In fact, I think you two should go national.
Oh, well,
you think so?
Well, Scott and I enjoy each other.
Yeah.
We absolutely disagree with each other on some things, and that makes it good because he doesn't get mad at me, and I don't get mad at him too much.
But I was nodding yes to just about everything you said.
Okay. Good enough. Hey, we're going to get into your prognostications. If people looked at my message, your prognostications of the presentologist. Did I get that? Something like that.
Well, Adam Lepp called me a presentologist, and I love the term.
Presentologist, yes. We're going to get
the real word in the dictionary, but I like it.
Yeah, it's hard to say. All that alliteration thrown all together.
Well, instead of a psychologist, it's presentologist.
Okay.
You know, combined.
All right. I'll buy it. I did want to hit quickly on the Supreme Court, Barrett, her appointment to the Supreme Court. Do you think that's going to force religion into our government?
I am concerned about that, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote yesterday on the Progressive Professor with the 6-3 extremist court, the following areas of law are gravely endangered: civil rights and civil liberties in general, women's rights, abortion rights and gay marriage, labor rights, voting rights, environmental reforms, consumer reforms, business regulations, separation of church and state, and firearms regulation. And I am very worried. And that's why I'm an advocate of two more members being added to the Supreme Court, not making it a liberal majority,
yep,
making it 6-5, a balanced court, which is what it needs to be.
Yep.
And Roberts and Gorsuch could decide which way to go. And sometimes they'll go with the left, sometimes with the right. So I'm not saying 4 or 3 to make an even number. You need an odd number. But I think it should be an 11-member court, yes.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way they're hinting that they might go if they get, they have to get both House and Senate majority and
they
president to get that. Yeah, we had that we had that meeting last week, and you have confirmed that we will get at least 53 senators, right?
50, yes. Doug Jones, I know he's behind in polls, but I think there is a chance that Doug Jones will keep his seat. And, you know, in Alabama, I'm really hoping, because if not, he should be in the cabinet of President Biden, because he's really a good man.
Well, if the turnout continues, and there has been a huge African-American turnout, and if I recall correctly, down there, that state is like 35% African-American, that might help him stay in there. It was by the hair of the of his chinny-chin-chin that he stayed, that he got nominated or got put on there.
Yeah. Well, now even Mississippi, which I hadn't talked about before, with Cindy Hyde-Smith, who I think is a horror, Mike Espy is running against her, and the polls are close. And so we could possibly have an African-American senator from Mississippi, an African-American senator from South Carolina, and Jamie Harrison replace Lindsey Graham. And there's already a black Republican senator, Tim Scott, in South Carolina. So we could see some real advancement in the sense of more people of minority background.
Now, if I recall correctly, you thought Jamie Graham had a possibility of it.
Jamie Harrison, yeah, it's very
Harrison,
close.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And you know, Graham is not very popular, and he is the one I would like to see more defeated, although it's going to be hard, than anyone except Mitch McConnell, who looks like he's going to win, but
yep,
you never know.
You
never know, because people coming out in droves, and in so many different categories of people that have not voted as much before, including young people, and I think there's a chance we could have an upset, and I think we could celebrate maybe both Graham and McConnell and Trump all losing.
That would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Now, I did want to mention, because I got 2 or 3 people that Facebook messaged me and said, "What is that picture doing on there?"
Of you?
Of me when I used to raise sales. Well, I wanted to tell people, I'm going to put different pictures of me on there. We need to have a dignified picture of you, but for certain we don't need a dignified picture of me. So
well,
every week I'm going to try and change
it. The recent picture, but I think anything you do, I always back whatever you do.
Okay. Well, let's get into why we're really having today's show. You're going to give us some prognostications that we can hang our hats on. Is that right?
Yes, and it somewhat changed from April 30th when I came up with a judgment. A little less, I would say, than I had then, but still an easy victory for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Okay, Dr. Feynman, you have the floor. You can go for it as far, much as you want to talk about it.
Okay, thank you very much. Start off with the fact that of course, Hillary Clinton won 20 states. In 2016. The six New England states, the Middle Atlantic states, the Midwest states of Illinois and Minnesota, and the mountain states of New Mexico, Colorado, and Nevada, and the Pacific Coast states of California, Oregon, Washington State, and Hawaii. All right, that is 232 electoral votes that she got. Now, I say it's going to be 233 because one district in Maine, the second district of Maine, went to Donald Trump last time. This time, I think Joe Biden will win it. So we're going to have 233 electoral votes just from the 20 states that Hillary Clinton won.
Okay.
And what's needed is 270. Mm-hmm. We don't need much more to win. So anything more than the minimum is great. It's gravy, but it seems to me anybody betting money on Donald Trump winning, I would say it's 99% unlikely to happen. I really do, because all that's needed is he holds on Joe Biden's Hillary Clinton states and wins 37, or even if you left Maine out, the second district, 38 electoral votes to reach 270. Mm-hmm. And I have no debate that that's going to happen. All right, so how's it going to happen? It's going to start first with the Midwest states that Hillary lost by small margins, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And I think the polls show, and every indication is, that's going to happen. And if those three go, then it's 279, 46 electoral votes of those three states, and everything else is gravy.
Isn't the biggest question there, though, Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, yes, and if Pennsylvania's lost, there's so many other opportunities. Wisconsin today had a 70% margin, which I don't think is real, but Wisconsin has turned against him because of all the COVID-19 people occurring since he did rallies there. Everywhere he goes, he's spreading the virus, and I think people are starting to react to the idea that this man has polluted the White House with COVID-19, and when Joe Biden comes in, they're going to have to, totally fumigate the White House because of the recklessness of both the president and the vice president in the White House and in the area around it. So
don't tell Scott that.
It is possible, but it still seems very likely to me in the western part, which is the area in debate in Pennsylvania, that it will. I think Pennsylvania will go. Maybe less likely than Michigan and Wisconsin, but I still think it will likely be so.
Okay. All right. Don't tell Scott that thing about fumigating the White House.
Yes. Okay, now, beyond the 279, which I think will happen, there are many other places where he's ahead, and I think he will win, and there are places that obviously were not Democratic and have not been in recent times. So I would say in the order as I see it happening, I think of other states, and already we're up to 23 states, 20 plus D.C., of course, and Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. The next one I would add to it is Arizona, 11 electoral votes, and Arizona certainly it's very clear that Mark Kelly is going to win that Senate seat.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine him not winning it. And Arizona, really, with more senior citizen population and change of their views and generally the Hispanic population growing and being able to vote, I think Arizona is a clinch, very definitely.
Now, do you think that Joe Biden is not getting quite what people expected out of the Hispanic vote?
I think the only answer there is in Florida, which I'm going to get to because of the Cuban vote.
Okay, I got
I don't think that's true of the
Arizona
Puerto Rican vote, which is growing in Florida, and the non-Cuban vote. I think the Cuban vote, and people really overestimated, it's 3.5% of Latinos are Cuban. That's all, 3.5%. 65% of Latinos nationally are Mexican, and Mexican-Americans, of course some will, there's always some, but the vast majority of Mexican Americans, after what Trump called them on the day he announced he was running on June 16, 2015, thugs and rapists and everything else.
Yeah.
I don't understand how any large percentage of Mexicans, who are the largest group, would vote for him. And Puerto Ricans, after he threw paper towels at them in Puerto Rico after the hurricane in 2017, especially now there's more in the Orlando area, and that's the I-4 corridor, which is crucial for the state of Florida.
Yeah.
I think that the Cuban vote, yes, but even the Cuban vote, I've had students who were Cuban in the past who voted for Obama, voted for Hillary, and they told me that they said to me very quietly, and they said, I would never tell my grandfather, otherwise I'd be disowned. So it's funny that they disagree with the older generation, which still is not over Castro, and act, some of them, as if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are Castro, which is preposterous.
Yeah.
They are not socialists. They are not communists. And yet these people, I guess because of what they suffered, the older generation is still very Republican, but I don't think the grandchildren are as much.
I would think not, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, after Arizona, I think the next state most likely is North Carolina, 15 electoral votes. He's ahead there. I think that Senate seat will also go to the Democrats. And again, there's more Hispanics there, and North Carolina, I think, is 15 electoral votes is next, and I would think it's just about certain. I mean, there's always chance it won't happen. And again, all that Joe Biden needs is 37 electoral votes. Remember that, or 38 if you don't count 2nd District of Maine. So he doesn't have to, but I think I would put North Carolina next. And then Florida, 29 electoral votes. And if he wins, Florida is certainly over. Because although it would not by itself give you 270, all you'd have to do is win one other state. So Florida, I think, will go to him. It'll be close, but I think he will win it. So that's going to make the numbers even higher. Then Nebraska,
you're
second congressional district. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're calling from Florida, so you know that best. But how many electoral votes do you get out of Florida?
29, as
okay.
I said.
Right.
29, which is the third highest. And that's why it starts with 232 for getting the main district. 232 and 29 is 261.
Yeah.
He only needs one more state.
Little one, too.
What's that?
And it doesn't have to be a big one, either.
Arizona, Chris.
Yeah.
So I'm saying Florida is going to probably, I think it's going to decide it by 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. I think they'll be, because they count votes early, the people have mailed it in and all that. I think Florida will definitely put him over the top by 11 p.m., meaning Joe Biden, or 12 midnight, even though there are those who worry, and it could drag out, but I don't think it's going to. Although the president may decide to sue no matter what, because he loves suing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. All right, now Nebraska, the second congressional district, one electoral vote, the Omaha area, which I think will go Democratic. It has in the past. It did for Obama in 2008. It's one part of Nebraska. You know, they allow separate votes there. You know, same as Maine, the only two states that allow split electoral votes. So I think he will gain one district in Nebraska, Joe Biden, and notice who went there, Trump. He's that concerned. He went for one electoral vote in Nebraska, knowing the rest would come to him, but he's running scared. And he went there, and what happened last night? He left people in a lurch. He got them to the airport, and then no transportation back home, and it was cold, and so some people went to the hospital. This is our president and how he treats those people
that.
Who are loyal to him. It's disgraceful.
Wow. Huh.
It's really terrible. You'll see in the news today. I think, who knows? It could even affect, I don't think it'll affect the whole state, but the man uses people. He is not a genuinely decent human being like Joe Biden is. And whatever you say about Joe, you can find fault with him. He's humane. He's decent. He's kind. He's compassionate. That you cannot say otherwise. You can complain about what he says or does, but not about his basic personality. That's the one thing I love about him the most.
Well, they've been hitting on the socialism thing with him and especially Kamala. So.
Well, I find people talk against Kamala. I gave a lecture yesterday to an empty auditorium, to a senior citizen location on camera live, and one person showed up, even though ordinarily nobody had, and she made it clear that she said, "Oh, you're a Democrat, aren't you?" Before the election started, I said, "Oh boy," and then she said, "Kamala Harris is dangerous," and I said, "Why do you say that? She was a tough prosecutor as a DA in San Francisco. She put a lot of people in prison when Attorney General." I said, "That's crazy," and I don't know what the answer is. I've had a few people complain about her, and I may be wrong, but you know what I think the answer is?
What's that?
She's not a white woman.
Well,
I think it's a race issue. They won't admit it, of course. Nobody ever does.
Nope.
Just like people say Obama horrible, don't give him any credit for anything. But if he was white or looked white, maybe it would be different. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I see nothing wrong with her, and I think she's perfectly competent and a lot more safe than having Mike Pence next in line, in my opinion. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so Nebraska, I think he'll get. Then, believe it or not, the next most likely is Ohio. Very close. Ohio's usually with the winner, only twice in the 20th century and 21st have they not been. 1944, they voted for Dewey over Franklin D. Roosevelt. 1960, for Nixon over Kennedy. But they have been the most consistent state in voting with the winning side. And I think Ohio is going to be close, but I think they will go, I believe, because of the major metropolitan areas that will outvote the rural areas.
Yeah.
And I think Ohio, with 18 electoral votes, will also go to Joe. But again, we don't need Ohio to have Joe Biden win.
Yeah. Now, as you know, I ran for a state representative here, but my district was almost, I would guess, 60%, 65% rural, and I got hammered.
Well, that's the problem, because rural areas are in conflict against urban and suburban, and now we're having suburbia, which is always sort of those Republican. Suburbia has turned much more toward the Democrats, because suburbia today is not only white, it has all kinds of people, and people yep. live together and work together, and therefore when he talks, our president, about suburban women and how he's saving them from crime and everything, it's a racist message, and it's not working, because women in general, educated women, and also black and Hispanic, but even white women, cannot tolerate this misogynist, which is what he has been.
Well, and he's going back to tropes from 1950 and 1960. He's way out of date on that sort of thing.
Yes, he is. And, you know, it's interesting. I had somebody I know who posted about the fact that Donald Trump's father was kind to Jews who were victims of the Holocaust in Brooklyn in the 1950s and got them a place for a synagogue and only charged $10. And that may be true. It's the first thing I've heard of it. And therefore, he's great for the Jewish people. And I'm thinking, I cannot believe this. Even if he did that, Fred Trump later with his son was denying African Americans apartments in Queens County, you know, part of New York City, and Donald was involved in the case of the Central Park Five, claiming these people
yeah.
Who were black and Hispanic were guilty. They were found guilty later, shown not to be. He still would not say that he was wrong. And his whole racist thing against Mexican Americans and his comments about Chinese virus against Asian Americans has caused trouble for Asian Americans. I mean, you know, so I'm thinking, yes, maybe Fred Trump did one good thing, but he also messed up his own family the way he brought them up, as Mary Trump, his niece, has pointed out.
Yeah.
So Fred Trump is not a model to say, oh, wow, and neither is his son, certainly. And Mary Trump is adding to that every day on MSNBC and CNN.
She's good.
I'm sure squirming Trump's head because he can't stand that his niece is doing this, but she's telling what she knows.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, after Ohio, Georgia. Very close, two Senate seats coming up there. Georgia is very close, 16 electoral votes. But again, it's becoming more and more suburban and mixed people, more people African-American and Hispanic, and more educated people. Educated people tend to vote now Democratic. They can't tolerate this man. Not saying the party. The Republican Party could revive later, but now it's got the wrong leadership. It's got to change its focus or it's dead. It will never come back. So it's got to not follow the Trump, the whole way it's been going. It's got to change. But anyway, Georgia, I think, will also vote likely. Okay, and then after that, Iowa. Iowa with only 6 electoral votes, but Joni Ernst is in a real battle, and I think she's going to lose that seat, and I think it's richly deserved. I think she's really not too swift in the brains anyway. I'm being honest. I've never been impressed with her. I found and said, you got this person elected? I couldn't, often wonder why people elect who they elect, because some of them are really dim with this, I'm sorry to say. So anyway, I think Iowa is likely, and not as much. So that's why I put it down further on the list, but I think it's possible.
Okay.
And then Texas. Texas is really in play now. That's going to be the hardest of all to do. But if Texas occurs, well, then the election's over. Because with the 232, forgetting the main district, and he had the 38 of Texas, it's 270. Exactly what he needs. So he could lose everything else I said, including the Midwest, if he wins Texas, or if he wins Florida with one other state, and he could very well, I think he will win both. He doesn't need, he doesn't have to have the others. So I think Texas. Now, that would bring it up to a total, with a total of 30 states, to 413 to 125.
That wins it, right?
Easily.
Well,
interestingly, there are many polls that show what is Trump guaranteed? Only 125 electoral votes.
Is that
exactly
right?
What I think. So they tend to agree with me. Now, the question about those 20 states that are voting for him, there's actually 4 states that might not vote for him. I'm putting it like real long shot beyond Texas that might actually vote for Joe Biden. And they're not going to be major states, but just to talk about it. So what order would I say after Texas? Montana. 3 electoral votes. Montana has the Bullock race for, you know, for the Senate, very popular governor. Montana is the least red of the Mountain West, you know, the upper Mountain West states, you know. So I think there's a chance Montana could vote indeed for Joe Biden 3. And then Kansas, imagine that. Kansas with 6 electoral votes, not likely. I used to think more likely, now I would say not, but the race there for the Senate, Barbara Boyer, I think she's got the lead, and people are disgusted with the right-wing Republicans that ran Kansas into the ground as far as education and health care. So I think, although I'm not saying it's going to happen, it could happen with Kansas.
Isn't Kansas one of those states that you can get one of the electoral votes?
No, that's Nebraska and Maine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, unfortunately, that's the only two, Nebraska. And I think Nebraska, I don't see the whole state churning, but I think the second district in Omaha will, and after what he did yesterday and left those people abandoned. You know, again, it's just typical Trump. That's not the kind of thing. George W. Bush wouldn't have done that. Ronald Reagan wouldn't have done that. No decent Republican would have treated and treat people like Donald Trump does. So this is not against the party. It's against this man who is a monstrosity. That's the point I'm making.
Yep.
Okay, so if you add those two, then it's 422 to 116 instead of 413 to 125. Now, having said that, there's still, that's 32 states, there's still 2 other states that I could say maybe could possibly, but I make it lesser. Missouri, 10.
Wow.
And Indiana, 11.
Missouri
was always usually correct until 2008. They abandoned and went to McCain, and since then have been Republican. But Missouri has a record historically of going with the winner. So Missouri is a long shot. But it could happen. In Indiana, you say, Mike Pence is free? Yes, because in 2008, Obama won Indiana, to the shock of everybody.
Well, Pence was not a very popular governor, if I recall correctly.
That comes later, but even as a congressman, no, but he did get elected,
yeah.
But interestingly, I want to go back to say, in 2008 on my blog, which I had just started, I projected the winner as Obama, and I ended up 1 electoral vote wrong. Just one, not one state. Well, a state, but 1 electoral vote wrong. I thought that Missouri would go to Obama, 10 electoral votes, and Indiana, 11, would go to McCain, and the opposite happened.
Huh.
I was off by 1 electoral vote, because Indiana went for him and not Missouri, which surprised me. And 12, I was totally correct, exactly, got the exact electoral vote. 16, of course, nobody got it right.
Well, yeah, that was a mess. We drove, my wife and I drove out to see my son out in California, and we drove through Missouri, and I gotta tell you, there were an awful lot of Trump signs. An awful lot of Trump signs.
But not in the cities.
Yeah, no, that's out in the rural area.
There's many more people in St. Louis and Kansas City. I'm just saying, you don't know. But we're really becoming a country where jokingly people could say the coastline should be one country and the middle of the country should be a separate country. But, of course, that can't happen. But
no.
There is a rural vote against the urban, and more suburbia is changing. So I wanted to bring out what kind of groups of people are turning blue, meaning a majority.
Yeah.
Senior citizens are at the top of the list. The majority of people over 65 have tended to be Republican, but every indication, we'll see if it happens, is that seniors, partly because of COVID-19, partly for other reasons, but I think COVID-19 is a big one, are moving in that direction. Suburban women are a second category, and that, in fact, in many polls, suburban women and women in general are like 20 points ahead for Joe over Trump. They can't stand him. They can't tolerate him. College educated, most people, not everybody, of course, but college educated clearly are indeed turning toward the Democratic Party more than ever. Lower and lower middle income voters that are struggling are more likely to be Democratic more than ever. Although not in the rural areas like in Kentucky and West Virginia. I don't understand how these people think.
No, I don't either.
They don't get it. And I'm talking about white voters that are in desperate circumstances, cannot get Medicaid and other things, and they still vote for people like McConnell. I don't understand it. Well, but maybe it won't happen this time. Okay, now also racial minorities, African Americans, Latino Americans, and Asian Americans, by large numbers, all have voted and will continue. About 70% of Jews will, 30% will not. The ones who will not are the wealthiest Jews, I'm sorry to say, the living Gates in Florida and places like, I don't live in Gates, and also Orthodox Jews. They're just like evangelical Christians. I don't know what they see in a sinner who has done so much wrong, but they're just different, and there's nothing we can do about it. But 70% will vote, maybe a little bit more will vote Democratic. Young people, definitely it seems like the trend is toward voting blue.
Yeah.
Independents, more and more independents who might have voted for a third party candidate, like in 2016. The candidates are really not much this time. They're not going to gain more than 2% at most. It's not going to be as much 6% of the vote or anything like that. So I think independents and moderate Republicans who can't stand Trump, but indeed still are proud to be Republicans, but are doing something they feel they have to do. They have to cause the downfall of Trump to recreate the Republican Party for the future.
Can I jump in here for a second and ask you a question about the Lincoln Project?
Yes.
Those are all former Republicans. Do you think they will form a new Republican base?
Well, I'll tell you, let me just finish with conservative intellectuals. A lot of these people are conservative intellectuals that are in the Lincoln Project.
Yeah.
They're not all office holders, but they're Republicans and conservatives, and they feel that, indeed, Trump is a cancer that must be excised,
yeah,
and they want to change the party. And it'll be a battle because they're going to have to face the Trumpites, which include Donald Trump Jr.,
yeah,
the Ivanka Trump, people from Fox News Channel, like Tucker Carlson, who might think of running. Can you imagine Tucker Carlson running?
I'd love to see him get burned, but okay.
I mean, there are people like that, and also the Ted Cruz's, who can listen to Trump attack his wife and call her ugly and say his father was involved in the Kennedy assassination,
yeah,
and then just forget about it and go to dinner with his wife at the White House. What kind of person does that?
Now, he was on the tube yesterday or the day before.
Yes.
And I didn't quite understand where he was coming from on that.
I think he's worried that the Republican Party's in trouble, and I think he's smart enough to see that.
Yeah.
But he's hoping to be the future of the party, as well as Rand Paul with his glorious libertarian BS.
Yeah.
I think Rand Paul is a disgrace. You know, I really think he's terrible. But he's hoping to try again. Also, of course, we have others like Josh Hawley, the new youngest senator at the moment, 40 years old from Missouri, who defeated Claire McCaskill. And I think, he is so anti-abortion. That's the only thing that matters to him. And whatever you feel about that issue. And I just think that these people are nightmares, and I think that the mainstream conservative Republicans that feel these people are a lost cause because they'll never be able to defeat a Democrat are going to cause a civil war, in quotes, in the Republican Party. And if the Republican Party goes the same direction as it's going, it's going to keep on losing, and rural America is getting smaller, and people and more educated people and more ethnic minorities are coming along and younger people. So, I mean, they have to really face the future and figure out what to do, but they need to reform, and the Lincoln Project and other groups want to reform the party.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Maybe that's the way they were heading to get Trump out so that they could readjust the Republican Party. Now, when I was young, I was a Republican, and I never was that far away from my Democratic friends.
No, in fact, as I pointed out to you, I wrote to you on Facebook, I liked Republicans in the past in the Senate, like Charles Mathias, Mark Hatfield, Charles Percy, Jacob Javits, Nelson Rockefeller, who I voted for governor twice.
Yeah.
These are what we call liberal Republicans. Of course, the word liberal is seen as socialist and communist. People have no clue what they're talking about. But I'm not saying that the Lincoln Project is liberal, but I think they're mainstream conservatives. And I do think Ronald Reagan would not approve of what's going on with Donald Trump. Can't prove it because he's dead. Yeah. I think his son and daughter say that. I think George H.W. Bush made clear how he felt. And George W. Bush is not saying anything. He's keeping quiet, but obviously
he sure is.
Turned off. And I think any decent Republican of the past and present, except those in office who are more worried about their seat because they're going to die if they don't keep their seat, you know, as if they need a job, you know, if they don't need a job. But meanwhile, they're not doing anything about providing aid for those who are unemployed and needy. They refuse to cooperate with the Democratic House.
Do you think there's going to be an October or early November surprise?
Well, there's only, six days left.
Yeah.
They had an October surprise about Hunter Biden, and it was all BS. And New York Post is Murdoch, and it's all been proved to not be anything. And, you know, and besides, if you're going to do that, as I've said, what about investigating all the stuff that Donald Trump Jr. did with that meeting in June 2016 with the Russians? We still have people talking about that. And what about all the illegal things going on with Ivanka and Jared Kushner? I mean, if you're going to talk about family, look at the Trump family, the most corrupt children of any president we've ever had. Now, we had a few children of my or siblings who might have been drunks. Yeah, Lyndon Johnson had a drunk. That's true.
Or that's not bad, is it?
Was an embarrassment, but not venal and vicious.
Yeah.
Trumps. Yeah, it's a difference, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, what we're left with is, theoretically, 20 states for him, maybe 18, maybe 16. So if everything worked out, with everything I said, and added Montana and Kansas and Missouri and Indiana, the all-time high, and I don't think it would be 443 to 95.
Wow.
Now, I don't think that's going to happen. But let's look at the votes of the states that are seemingly going to vote. Oh, they never know. West Virginia, they always used to be Democratic, but not now.
Yeah.
Kentucky, I don't understand Kentucky at all. I hope they do defeat McConnell, but I don't think it's going to happen. South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, except for the 2nd District, Oklahoma, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, and Alaska. And even in Alaska, there's some rumors that the independent candidate might defeat the Republican Senator Sullivan, and some people even think Alaska, suffering a lot from COVID-19, even though they're a small state, might actually, so I can even add Alaska maybe to the list, but really a long shot, they might go, you know, they might vote blue. But these states are all small states. They have very few electoral votes. The most, after all, is, when you think of it, only is Tennessee, and that I don't understand either. Tennessee used to be a state that had Al Gore as a senator, had other good Democrats as senators. I don't know how to explain what's happened. Huh. And I've been to Nashville a couple of times, great city, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with this state? I don't understand.
Well, now, do you know, I'm guessing the Inuit up in Alaska, they are like the Native Americans. They do have the right to vote, do they not?
If they are able to vote and they get to it, yes.
If they can get to it, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a Sarah Palin group that, of course, still has an impact, and that's why Lisa Murkowski went against what she said. She ended up voting for Barrett because I think she was thinking ahead to 2022 and thinking Sarah Palin would challenge her. I can still not imagine that Sarah Palin would overcome her in a primary. But you know, Murkowski in 2010 had a challenger in the primary and lost and ran as an independent.
Yeah.
She won, and this independent in Alaska now, who's more like a Democrat but not a Democrat, could actually win. So Alaska's a strange place, And we could have an independent senator, not Dan Sullivan, who I think has not done a good job. But, you know, I just wonder, you know, in theory, if enough people are upset by COVID-19 and the economy, who can say that some of these 16 states or up to 20 wouldn't vote Democratic by small margins? They could, because it comes down to this. Forget the pandemic for the minute. What do people vote on? The economy, the economy, the economy, as Bill Clinton ran on in 92, the economy, stupid, he said. Mm-hmm. And the economy is the worst it's been since Herbert Hoover's time. And Herbert Hoover thought he was going to somehow, you know, overcome Franklin D. Roosevelt, and he won six states. And I think this is a comparative case. And yet, Herbert Hoover was a decent human being. This is not true of Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think a landslide by the Democrats, Democratic Party, do you think a landslide will make the transfer of power more pleasant, for a lack of a better
word? Well, I think the actual percentage of the vote, I think, will be, you could say a landslide is 55% of the total vote is considered a landslide.
Okay,
I think Biden will come to 54-55% of the vote, and Trump will get about 43, less than he got when he got 46, and 1-2% will be shared by the Libertarian and Green Party and other minor candidates.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to win 54-50, maybe not 55, but 54. The latest poll shows 54-43, but I'm not sure 3% are going to vote for others. So it could be 55, even 56. Now, he's not going to come up to what Ronald Reagan did, in 1984. He's not going to win all but one state.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. He's not going to do what FDR did in 1936, all but two states. He's not going to do what Lyndon Johnson did in 1964, losing all but six states. No, he's going to lose, Biden, I'd say at least, I guess, 16, probably up to 20, but he's winning the states that have the bigger electoral votes. The states that are left are primarily South and Mountain West, Appalachian, and they don't have many electoral votes, and they are not the future of the country, so they can continue to vote as they wish and put their heads in the sand like an ostrich, but an ostrich is smarter. It takes his head out of the sand eventually. How's that for a joke?
being
sarcastic, but I mean, I think that this is the future. I think we're having a blue wave, and it's going to continue beyond now. And in 2024, the electoral votes will increase for Texas and Florida, and I think they'll probably be blue by then, if not this time. And either he'll be running for re-election, or Kamala Harris likely would be running, or somebody else. And if the Republicans don't transfer, you know, from Trumpites to reasonable Republicans, they're dead.
I just got a message that there are hundreds of Trump supporters stuck on a frozen airfield. Where was that?
Omaha.
In Omaha.
I told you, that's what I was saying.
Oh, and that's what you were talking about.
They did not get traffic. They did not get transportation back to where they were supposed to. They were brought there, and then... And, you know, I didn't realize it's still going on at this moment. God, and people are freezing. It's cold there.
Well, seven have been taken to the hospital.
Yeah. So this is a great moment to say, see what Trump represents? I bet some of those people still vote for Trump.
Yeah, well, there will be. I'll guarantee you that.
I don't know what it is. I don't understand how anybody could vote for Trump with this horrific record. Again, I say George W. Bush had faults, but nothing like this. Nobody. Herbert Hoover. Nobody has ever been like this president. No one. And be the party. You know, you can find fault with everybody. Everybody's got faults, and Joe Biden will have faults if he's president.
Sure.
Nothing like this. That's the point I'm trying to make. But some people, you can knock their head against the wall, and it just doesn't penetrate, you know?
I just got a message that there were 25,000 people at that rally, and 250 of them were hurt. Where Trump left them standing.
Well, hurt in what way? You mean frozen, or... Otherwise, you don't know.
It doesn't say how they were injured. But.
No, it's going to become a news story later on today, and it's not. It's just going to add to the fact that he himself has said, our president, that he's not coming back anymore to these different places, and he's even thinking of leaving the country. And my answer is, you don't have to come back anymore, but I would say we should make sure he cannot leave the country and take away his passport and that of his family, because they should be brought on charges, particularly him, but even his children, the oldest children anyway, you know, I think. So I think his passport should be revoked. Otherwise, the theory is some people think he can rush to Russia. Who can say he wouldn't? He's capable of anything. And I would say, You cannot leave the country. You got to face justice after you leave office.
Well, we're down to about a minute and a half to go, and next week we will know a little bit more because it'll be right after the election. I just got a message that 175 of those that were injured were seniors. So, jeez.
My God, that's terrible. And why are they backing him?
I have no
idea. Talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare. Yeah. I just don't get it. It's infuriating, you know? How could I be anything other than, to some people, uncivil when people don't get it, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea what to say. Well, you and I are going to have a full lid next Wednesday, as they say. So thanks for coming on, and I guess we're going to close it up with that. We've got about 1 minute left to go. And
okay, I'll just say my final total, I would say, is 413 to 125, not putting in Montana, Kansas, or Missouri or Indiana. So I'm saying 30 states, 413 to 125. We'll see how accurate I am.
Okay, I'm writing it down. We'll find out.
Thanks so much again. I always had a great time.
Simon, I will spell your name right next time.
You say, Ron the man. It was right, I hope, or close to right.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to you a week from today, and we'll
know
a lot more.
We'll talk on Facebook, of course. Yeah, take care.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for being on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my. Very interesting. I enjoy talking with you. And we're going to get out of here. We've got about 10 seconds to go, and thanks for listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.